When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Let us pray. Loving God, may your holy words take deep root in our lives and our hearts and transform us that we might grow more in your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage that we've heard read this morning, it's a short passage. It's from the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. And it begins with the words, "when he was gone," which gives us a hint about the wider context it belongs to. Before this reading that we had this morning, we're at table with Jesus. And he speaks of betrayal, about the one who will betray him dipping into the same cup. We come to learn that it's Judas, and he races off to commit his betrayal. When Judas was gone, Jesus begins to speak. The passage we heard read this morning is the beginning of what's often referred to about as Jesus' farewell discourse, his farewell speech to his disciples in the Gospel of John. It goes over almost three chapters and it ends with a prayer. After Jesus has done this teaching and this praying for those who are his most intimates, the journey to the cross begins. So here we are between betrayal and the cross, and Jesus gathering his disciples in an intimate communion, teaching them about how he will care for them in the time that is to come. The farewell discourse begins here. And we learn of three things. We learn about Christ glorifying God and Christ in God being glorified. We learn about Christ leaving, going somewhere. We're not sure yet what he's even beginning to speak about. And then we learn of the love commandment. There's a great symmetry in this farewell speech that Jesus gives to his disciples. Because when he comes to the end of the prayer that he has for them in chapter 17, again he will speak of being glorified. He will speak of the place where he's going. And he will call on the disciples to be one as he and the Father are one. That being one mirrors what's said in the beginning about loving each other. Glorification. It's a strange word. We use it. I'm not always sure we know exactly what we mean by it. In the scriptures, it means to give honour, to recognise someone's true worth and their true place. The emperor would have been glorified. He would have been given the honors due to an emperor. And here it's saying that God is glorified. God is given his true status, his amazing status as the origin and end of all things. We saw that in the psalm that we read. God is glorified by the whole creation rising up in praise. And now we hear that the Son of Man, Jesus, is glorified. And God is glorified in him. We can think of this as a normal kind of relationship between maybe father and son. I know that my son does some things that make me incredibly proud. I feel truly honored by what he does, who he is, how he's chosen to live his life. And then he does some things that make me wonder. It's part of our humanity that we can both give honor and glory and at the same time steal it away. It's our human frailty. But here Jesus is giving honor, giving glory to God from beginning to end. The way that he has lived his life, who he is, who he's chosen to be with, how he's loved, and now how he will offer his own life in death upon a cross. Before we get to this reading, just a few passages back, we hear about a seed that falls in the ground. And when it dies, it gives glory. When it dies, it becomes what it was truly meant to be. In the same way, Christ in his death will reach that full glorification, the full giving of honor to God. This is absolutely against the expectations of the world. Can you imagine a Caesar, an emperor, who was crucified, who lost? He would be totally humiliated. There would be no glory in it. But here in this upside down, countercultural world of the gospel, we hear that Christ will be most glorified when he gives himself utterly away for the sake of others. When he dies, that is when the glory, he glorifies most fully the Father. I didn't even say, hey, Google. So we've come to this point in the gospel where Jesus has been at the table fellowship with his disciples. You know, in the Gospel of John, it's not so much about the meal that they share, but the way that Jesus shows his humility and love for the disciples by washing their feet. And we're coming to the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, and then that time when the disciples will await the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this whole farewell discourse is about how are you meant to live in that time? A time of disorientation. A time when we're no longer with the earthly presence of Jesus. How is the community to keep on existing? And Jesus gathers them up. And we hear the tenderness with which Jesus gathers his disciples together. My children, he addresses them. Not his followers, not his students, not his disciples even, but my children. The passion and compassion that he gathers them up. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. They don't understand. They're left in confusion. But the thing that's clear is that there will be a time when the physical presence of their Lord is no longer with them. And so he offers them a new commandment, a commandment to love one another. It's hard to know what he means by a new commandment. The Pharisees had 615 commandments that they drew from the Old Testament that they thought were binding on people. And even the early Christians, even the disciples of Jesus, already knew about Jesus' commandment to love enemies. They knew what Jesus said when someone asked him, what's the highest commandment, the most important commandment? And he quoted Deuteronomy and he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. They knew that. And they knew that when he said that, he said, the second one's like it. And he drew on the Leviticus and he said, to love your neighbour as yourself. They knew that love was part of who Jesus was, of what he taught. So what's new about this commandment? The commandment is to love one another. This is a commandment not for love outside there, outside the doors of the church, but it's a commandment that the followers of Jesus would be bound to each other in love. It takes nothing away from the commandment to love enemies, to love neighbours, to love God. They're all still real. But in this time when the community will be disoriented by Jesus' absence, the thing that will hold us together is our love for each other. And how does that love become possible? A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So must you love one another. Another way of translating it is, love one another as I have loved you, and I have loved you so that you would know how to love each other.